Do we have body parts that we don't really need? I'm Joseph. This is Input English. Today I have a discussion for you. I hope you find it interesting. It sounds like I'm going to be talking about biology, human parts, anatomy, human function. But I'm also going to be talking about curiosity. Curiosity is a very big characteristic that we humans share. I consider curiosity a powerful tool in language learning, but also in life. I usually want to know why. I want to know more details. I love curiosity. So when I started out today, I asked, do we have body parts that we no longer need? Evidence suggests that we do, and they come in a variety of types. Some of our body parts have become vestigial over time. So what is vestigial? Vestigial is a characteristic that is produced by evolution. As evolution progresses, various structures and their associated functions are no longer necessary, and so the part, the anatomic structure, can become vestigial. If something is vestigial, its size or function are diminished. It is no longer necessary for good function and survival. So, what are some examples of vestigial structures in humans? Let's start with our teeth. Actually, let's talk about humans as we fit into the animal kingdom. Humans are vertebrates, right? We are mammals. We are in the order of primates. So what are primates? Primates include monkeys, the great apes, and humans. Is there a difference between monkeys and apes? Yes, there is. In general, apes are larger than monkeys, but the most striking difference that you can see easily is apes have no tail. Monkeys have tails, and they often use those tails as a fifth appendage. You could say that a monkey's tail is usually prehensile. If a tail is prehensile, it can grasp things. It can be used as another limb. But 25 million years ago, a genetic mutation deleted the tails from the great apes. This is arguably why humans don't have tails. You could also argue that the characteristic of being without a tail persisted because it was consistent with survival. We didn't need tails. We weren't living in the trees swinging from branches. And so having that extra limb with prehensile ability wasn't necessary. As you study human anatomy, you see that we have no tail, but we do have a vestigial structure, the tailbone. It is very small. It is at the very bottom of the spinal column. It is below the sacrum. And you can argue that the tailbone or coccyx is a vestigial structure of the old tail that our ancestors had more than 25 million years ago. I am aware of no current function of the human coccyx. Another example of a vestigial structure is the wisdom tooth. What is a wisdom tooth? Well, let's talk about teeth in general. The teeth in the front of the mouth are usually for biting. Further back in the mouth, the teeth function for grinding the food. Millions of years ago, our ancestors ate a great deal of raw vegetable material. We needed molars in the back of the mouth to grind that vegetable matter up so that we could digest it. The great apes still eat a lot of raw vegetable matter, and they make use of the molars in their jaw. They grind the food in their mouth by chewing it extensively. It is estimated that gorillas, for instance, spend more than half their waking hours chewing food. Humans in the modern era are eating food that has been prepared. Humans frequently cook their food, and we don't spend hours chewing. Wisdom teeth are the third molars from the front. The ones furthest in the back of the upper and lower jaw are referred to as wisdom teeth. The standard number of wisdom teeth for a human is 4, 2 upper and 2 lower, and they're the furthest back in the mouth. However, around 25% of people have fewer than 4 wisdom teeth. They may be missing one or more wisdom teeth. Some people completely lack wisdom teeth because humans don't spend their whole day chewing raw vegetable matter. You could construe that we don't need as many molars in the back of our mouth to allow us to do that. When our ancestors moved out of the trees and onto the surface of the ground, our need to grip and hang from limbs became less important. There are muscles in the forearm that are vestigial. The palmaris longus muscle and tendon are best described as vestigial structures. Not all humans have palmaris longus tendons. It's actually very easy to test to see if you have one. You may or may not have a palmaris longus tendon. The way to tell is to do a Schaefer's test. To do a Schaefer's test, we would, in my case, roll up my sleeve so I can examine my wrist, and then touch my small finger, my pinky, to the thumb and make a pincer grasp between those two, and then tilt the wrist forward, and right here is a tendon. This is the Schaefer's test, and that is the palmaris longus tendon. It may be absent in nearly 20% of people. Some people only have one palmaris longus. There is no evidence that if someone lacks a palmaris longus tendon, that they have any functional disability at all. No problem has ever been attached to that. Surgeons are well aware of that. Surgeons have long thought of the palmaris longus tendon as a resource for reconstructive surgery. These tendons have been moved surgically to replace damaged flexor tendons, extensor tendons, and also to repair ligaments that have been destroyed by a severe sprain. Given that a lot of people watch these videos, it is likely that more than one person, if they do the Schaefer's test, will notice that they do not have a palmaris longus tendon. In the calf of the leg, there is an analogous tendon called the plantaris tendon. I don't know of a way to demonstrate it on exam, but it is also described as a vestigial structure. What about the appendix? You may have heard of the appendix. This is a small structure attached to the large intestine in people. The full name is the vermiform appendix. Vermiform means worm-like. The appendix has long been referred to as a vestigial structure. Again, our ancestors, tens of millions of years ago, ate a great deal of vegetation that was not cooked. It was well chewed, but it took a long time for that cellulose-containing food to be digested. Comparing human gut anatomy to other mammalian gut anatomy, it is easy to conclude that the vermiform appendix is a vestigial structure. It's very small, and it's not easy to find an obvious function of it. However, in recent decades, a new function of the appendix has been proposed. We must recall that one of the great survival challenges for human beings over the years has been diarrheal disease. Populations were subjected to the stress of diarrheal disease, and many individuals were lost. Some people survived. The new function for the vermiform appendix, which has been proposed, is that it is a repository for microbes in the gastrointestinal tract, so that when a diarrheal disease occurs, as the individual recovers, they will have microbes that can repopulate their gastrointestinal tract and allow them to recover better. This better understanding of a potential function of the appendix has changed medical practice somewhat. Decades ago, it was common during abdominal surgery to do what was described as an incidental appendectomy. That is, while they were in the abdomen, the surgeon would remove the appendix in addition to the regular surgery they had just completed. That practice is much less common in the modern era. We recognize that the appendix may actually have some benefits for us. So with those examples, and of course there are others, one can make the case that we do have vestigial structures in our body, structures that have been left behind by our evolution. Perhaps they've lost their size or their functional importance. So why did I want to discuss this topic with you today? I wanted to showcase our curiosity. These are interesting topics, but not for everyone. Some people find it very fascinating to know more about teeth or the appendix, while others are not very interested at all. When we as language learners identify something about which we are really interested, we have an associated opportunity. Because now, in the 21st century, there is a lot of information available to us in various forms. Books, magazine articles, videos, recorded lectures. There are many ways to get information. One of the ways to get information about topics like this is a documentary. As language learners, using comprehensible input, documentaries can be a gold mine. We choose the documentary that piques our interest. We choose a documentary about something we want to know more about. Documentaries tend to be spoken very clearly, and they're usually spoken perhaps a little more slowly. If you watch a documentary, for instance, on YouTube, you can control the playback speed. You can set the playback speed to 85% or 90% to give your brain time to deal with the language and understand the input. I find, for me, that if I set the speed slower than 85%, it sounds strange. But 85 to 90% speed sounds fairly normal, but it's much easier to understand because it's not so fast. In previous videos, I have mentioned that the National Geographic makes a lot of documentaries, and they tend to be posted online for free. If you are interested in nature, evolution, biology, you can find a lot of documentaries online and on YouTube that you may find very useful in your language learning journey. Input from a documentary is valuable input. It may be easier for you to understand for two reasons. One, we're interested in the topic. We selected that documentary because we're interested in the topic. The other reason is if we're interested in a topic, we may have some knowledge about that topic already. If we have a little bit of knowledge about the topic, then we will be able to identify words in the documentary related to our previous knowledge. We already know something about this topic. If you're using content as input, and there are a bunch of words that you understand, then you'll be better equipped to follow the story, follow the discussion, and then that input is valuable to you. I do this all the time. I first noticed this when I was studying in Austria. I was not very skilled understanding spoken German. However, I noticed that lectures on topics that I was familiar with were easy to understand. I was amazed. It wasn't because I had a high level in German. It was because it was familiar subject matter. So indeed, humans do have anatomic structures that we describe currently as vestigial. But in the case of the appendix, we stop short of describing the appendix as useless. It may have evolved a new function that is actually very valuable to human survival and good health. So today I appeal to your curiosity. I invite comments below. And if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.